This conference is being recorded.
Recorded now. Okay, thank you for returning. Now, some people might be wondering, hey, what does this light got to do with all this stuff? Well, remember, light, you know, if you have knowledge, you got light. Okay? And the Bible talks about us walking in the light, walking in truth, walking in His Word. So there is that part of a symbolism in the first day. That for us to even come to Yahweh, for us to perceive what's going on, that we're in darkness. And darkness covers the whole deep. Matter of fact, how does the Bible put it? Let's talk about this since we're into light and darkness at this point in time. I believe it's Isaiah 62. Matter of fact, let me turn to Luke. I believe it's Luke chapter 4. When Yeshua starts off His ministry, He starts it off trying to get us to realize how much darkness we are really in. And the first thing He does is that He has to free us, or as it might say, liberate us. Okay, in Genesis, Luke chapter 4, it makes mention of a few things. It talks about, and Jesus was full, and Yeshua, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days, He did eat nothing. And when they were ended, He afterwards hungered. Now remember, as we get filled with the Spirit, especially in the last days, the Bible talks about it. I guess we can parallel this into a last day event scenario here. And it says, Yeshua being full of the Holy Spirit. So we know the 144,000 will be filled with the Holy Spirit. And they will be led by the Spirit. Now, will we be led into the wilderness? When the mark of the beast is issued, I guess we really don't have a choice. Matter of fact, you can go back and map it into the book of Daniel and into Yeshua, Matthew 24, when you see abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, whosoever readeth, let him understand. He that is in the field, come not back. He that is in the mountains, let him flee into the mountains. So this is, I guess we can say that we flee into the wilderness. We have to be led by the Spirit into the wilderness during this time, and this parallels the Feast of Tabernacles. That's what the Feast of Tabernacles was all about, so that the people of Yahweh can remember when they left the Exodus, that we can remember in the last days that we will have to flee for our lives, and we will be led by the Spirit. And it talks about that He was tempted for 40 days, and the first temptation, during this time, He couldn't eat nothing. Now remember, when the mark of the beast is issued, they said that you won't be able to buy or sell unless you have the mark of the beast. So that means this will be the situation we will be in. We will not be able to eat many days. I don't know if it's going to be 40. I don't know all of that. But I just know that we will be tempted in the same way. And verse number 3 says, and the devil said unto Him, if thou be the Son of Elohim, come, command this stone to be made bread. And Yeshua answered him, saying, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of Elohim. Now, this is first attack in his weakened state. The attack is on diet. First thing he does, he tells him to turn stones or command to turn stones into bread. Now, Yahweh, if Yeshua would have done that, he would have been acting on his own because that's not what the Father asked him to do. But remember, Yahweh, Yeshua says that I do all things that please my Father. And he says, my will is to do the will of Him and to finish His work. He also says, I do nothing of my own self. But what my Father tell me, since his Father didn't tell him to turn his bread into stone, then if he would have done that, then he would have been outside of Yahweh's will because he did this on his own and he would not have been like us. We can't turn nothing into stone. He know he couldn't because we didn't have the same thing. The Bible says that he's made like unto us in all things. Every temptation that comes to him, that came to him, and any temptation that comes to us came to him first. So this is how he was able to get the victory, and this is how we will be, Yahweh will work out things for us to get the victory in the last days. Same way. Why? Because the first sin that got us into this mess was over appetite. The sin after the flood, or the sin when he freed his people from Egypt, when he freed us from Egypt, because I'm a Hebrew, so when he freed us from Egypt, then the first temptation that they were given was that he gave them manna. And that they said, no, they didn't want the manna. And so as he gave them the quail, they died with it. Okay? So there we go. He tried to change their diet back to the heavenly diet. We didn't cooperate. So then the first temptation that that comes to Daniel and the three Hebrew worthies is the same thing. As they come to Daniel, they tell Daniel and all the captives that you're supposed to eat this pig swine and all this other stuff that was unclean, all the stuff that you're not supposed to eat. Like today, we are being told today that we're okay for eat the McDonald's and it's okay for us to eat the stuff and all of this stuff. This is all man-made stuff. This is all Luciferian food. This is not the food that Yahweh has made. He made the stuff fresh out of the garden into the plate. Some people will tell me, yeah, listen, Brother Emmanuel, all this theory about all this food. Hey, people who smoke, drank, ate pig, and all of that, and they lived 100, 120. So, brother, how do you justify that? I said, it's real simple, bro. They had a good constitution. They ate out of the garden. They ate the stuff. They didn't eat. They didn't have no McDonald's. They didn't have Pepsi. They didn't have Coca-Cola. They didn't have all of these man-made things that were made with chemicals and that have nothing to it but destruction, or as some would call it, side effects. We got kids who are 16 years old having heart attacks on a basketball court. You tell me. So these are the type of things that they knew would happen. So with Yeshua here, okay, as Yeshua is here, we find that the first attack on him is the first attack that was attacked on the Hebrews in the Exodus, the first attack that was given to Garden of Eden, to Adam and Eve, is the same test that will be given to the people in the last days, the same test that was given to Daniel and the Hebrew worthies, and they chose to go through a 10-day cleanse, and after the end of the 10-day cleanse, the same oxygen therapy cleanse that they went through, that's what I'm trying to teach people to do. So when they went through that same thing, that we find out that now they got, that they were accepted not to have that problem, and then they were able to the correct diet, and so that's why Yahweh is able to bless him. Okay, so these are the type of things. So in the last days with the mark of the beast, the same problem that has been persistent through the ages, it will come up again, the last and final test, which is the first test that Satan comes to Yeshua with. It wasn't an accident that he came to him with diet at first, because it's the same one that got Adam and Eve. So he says, I know I got Yeshua, because I'm going to give him the same test. They go, fail me? Didn't fail. They said, I'm going to give the same test to Daniel and the three Hebrew worthy. They didn't bite. They didn't take the Babylonian diet. Are we eating the Babylonian diet today? We have to think about it. Okay, then the next one, when he went down with John the Baptist, we've read about John the Baptist before. With John the Baptist, what do we see happening? We see John the Baptist coming on a stage of action. What is the first thing he's given? His diet is changed immediately. Yahweh gives him a diet that the Bible says that he will eat, you know, out in the wilderness. So if he's out in the wilderness, is this similar to the same wilderness that we read in Luke chapter 1, verse 4? And Yeshua, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness? I would say so. So we see here even John the Baptist winning into the wilderness. Same temptations. We don't have great details, but we know he passed the test. Is that the same wilderness that we're talking about, that we're talking about at the time of the Exodus? That they're sent into a wilderness situation to be tested again? Are we going to be given into a wilderness position, when we have to flee from the mark of the beast. Is he telling us that in the feast of booths, that we'll have to live in booths during that time frame? So it's always consistent as we keep looking through. Yeshua is teaching the same thing, same thing, same thing. Now, what does this have to do with darkness, brother? Well, if you can't see, you're blind. And the Bible says, the blind lead the blind, and they both fall into the ditch. Question, are we falling into a ditch? Are the blind leading us, and now we are blind? So remember, darkness covered the face of the deep, and the spirit of Elohim moved upon the face of the deep. The question today, are we in darkness? If we are, how deep is this darkness? Well, according to Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, arise, shine, for thy light is come. What light? Are we talking about the same light that at the beginning of time when darkness covered the face of the deep and then the Spirit of God moved and he says, let there be what? Light. So that's the first thing we need. We need knowledge. We need light for us to come out of this darkness. Some of us might not even think we're in darkness, but this is what it says, Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of Yahweh is risen upon thee. So he's saying that these people, which I believe is 144, that these people are lightened up just as Moses was lightened up when he was up on the wilderness, when he was up on the mountain for 40 days. They said when he came down with the Ten Commandments, the Bible says his face shone as if it was the face of an angel. Or was that? Yeah. So when he got the commandments the second time. And so he had to even cover his face because it shined so much. And the same thing with these people, they will arise and they will shine, for the glory of Yahweh will be upon us. Notice verse 2, for behold, darkness shall cover the earth. Is darkness covered in the earth? No question about it. Did darkness cover the face of the earth at the beginning, at creation? Yes, it did. But how deep is this darkness? And it says, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth and gross darkness the people. Now, wait a minute. Gross darkness? That means gross darkness is not darkness. Darkness is when the sun goes down and you can still see and you can still walk. Gross darkness is like when you're inside of a fire and the smoke comes up. They said that you could put your hand on your nose and you still can't see it. That's gross darkness. The darkness is so deep and that the smoke is so deep in the room that you can feel it. And as you breathe it in, that's what kills you. Not the fire. It's the smoke that'll kill you. That's what is called gross darkness, such that when you even come out of that room, you got black smoke all over you. That means it has taken full control from your every breath to what you see, what you smell, everything in today's society is full of gross darkness, and it is taking hold of us. And as we live in it and breathe it, it will smother and kill us. That's what Yahweh is saying. He says the earth is in darkness, but the people, they in worse than darkness. They in gross darkness. So does he need to recreate Genesis chapter 1 and bring what? Let there be light? That's what he said in verse 1 of chapter 60. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. Let there be light. Same thing. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of Yahweh is risen upon thee. People are looking for people who have the glory of Yahweh. People are looking for those who are in the light, who can walk in the light. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but Yahweh shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. So this is what he's telling. He's telling us and letting us know that his will live in us. And that's why he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in the Messiah. When he tells us to arise and to shine, the Bible talks about under the loud cry, the fourth angel's message. Revelation chapter 18. It makes mention to that. Matter of fact, it says in verse 1, "And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was what? Lightened with his what? Glory." That's why these people who will give Revelation 18 are the same people that we just read about in the book of Isaiah, chapter 60. For he says, "Thy light is come, and the glory of Yahweh is risen upon thee. Arise, but the Yahweh shall arise upon thee." He's going to rise on thee. That's it. He has to come upon us, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. So this is what it, how it relates to the light of the first day. Now notice in Luke chapter 4, going back to there again, after the first temptation, after he goes through all of those temptations, then we see him coming and he finishes with all of that at verse 13. And we pick up at verse number 14. "And Yeshua returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all." So we see after the temptations, after he's got the victory over the appetite, now we see what happened. It says, "And Yeshua returned in the power of the Spirit. And the fame went out through all the region." And I believe in the last days of 144, when they get the victory over this diet and this raw food and all this other stuff, and as they starting to get the victory and as Yahweh starting to show them all these different things, that then their fame will go out. And as we read, their light would have come and the glory of Yahweh would have risen upon them. And the fourth angel's message will be given. The loud cry of the third angel's message. Revelation 18. As it makes clear reference to the glory of Yahweh filling the earth as the light. As he said, he set the light from the darkness. Okay, I'm gonna correlate this verse to Luke back in the Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. "And Elohim said, let there be light," the light that has come. "And there was light." And so that's what he said. "Then our light has come upon thee." That's what we read in the book of Isaiah. "For thy light is come, and the glory of Yahweh is on thee." So this light has come. So let there be light, and it has come. And I'm in page 5 of my beginner's book. "Elohim saw the light, that it was" what? "Good. And Elohim set the light apart from the darkness." And this is the separation time. This will be the time of separation, or as some would call it, the great shaking amongst Yahweh's people. That the darkness will be dispersed by the light. And when the light comes, darkness cannot stand. That's why it disappears. The light has to go for darkness to come. And where there is no light, there is only darkness. And that's how we have to look and try to understand what Yahweh is trying to tell us in so many different ways. Now we're going down back to Luke chapter 4. And we was reading 14. And we read 15. "And Yeshua returned in the power and the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him," which I believe will be for the same 144, the same it was for John the Baptist, same way it was for Daniel, the same way it was for when we left Egypt, "and a fame of him went throughout all the region round about, and he taught in their synagogue." Now, some will probably be willing to listen to this truth for a little while. But then they say, you know, hey, this is not the prosperity gospel, man. I mean, this is not the gospel we love. This is the gospel of, you know, trying to get serious. Okay? So some will listen. But then as the plagues, and not the plagues, as the trumpets start to blow and they start seeing the judgments of Yahweh come, then I believe then people will turn back to say, hey, what were you saying there, my brother and sister? What were y'all saying? Hey, I think you were right. Now I want to hear. That's when the fame of them will be all throughout the region. Oh, yeah, and then you know the church, you know, church, the Bible says, and the other people will have to come upon us. The church will attack the people of Yahweh. Not the Muslims, not the Hindus, not the Buddhists, the church, the Bible says. Because we testify against the church as we teach the Bible, because it testifies against them of what they should be doing, which the Western Christianity refuses to do. So, notice what else it says. And he taught them in their synagogues, being glorified of all, verse 15, verse 16, this Luke chapter 4 still. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. Now, what do you think he's going to read? Let's see. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. Is he going to read Isaiah 60? Let's see. And when he had opened the book, and remember, in the Old Testament, they everything wasn't in one book. So you had one scroll. So they handed him the scroll of Isaiah. So you would have to teach out of whatever book you were given. You could have been given the book of Deuteronomy. You could have been given Daniel. You could have been given any. But they would be this day giving him the book of Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, now, it was a scroll, so you had to scroll it. So you had to have a real way to scroll it to stop at a certain place. It wasn't that you could just flip pages and get there. No one liked that. Okay? When he had gone through the scroll, and when he had opened the book or the scroll, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of Elohim is upon me, because he have anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. Are we held captive? Are we poor in spirit? Is our heart broken? And recovery of sight to the blind. Are we blind, full of darkness and gross darkness to people? This is what he came for, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Do we need to be set free? Do we believe that we need to get the liberation of the people of color mind? Do we need anything that is not being offered today, from day to day? Yeshua thought back at his time, he did. And then those that will bruise you because they don't want to hear the truth. So they will always be trying to keep you down. To preach the acceptable year of Yahweh. So this is what was being taught. This is what he was referring to. So he was bringing us out of light, out of darkness, into the light. Now, getting back to page 5 of my beginner's book, and as I was reading Genesis 1, 3 through 5, and Elohim said, let there be light. The light has come upon thee. And there was light. And Elohim saw the light, that it was good. And Elohim set the light apart from the darkness. And that's what he's going to do. When this message goes forth and he starts giving a loud cry, you will see the difference between the darkness of Western European Christianity and the light of the true African Hebrew Bible. Elohim called the light day, if you notice the capital D in Genesis, and the darkness he called night, capital N. So these, you know, usually, I don't know how, this is just a thought, but usually when you are given capital letters or something, it's a name or a place or something. And so this is a name of, as I would say, we are people, the Bible says we are people of the day. We are not of the night. So this right here could be even another parallel where he's saying that he is called, Elohim called the day, the children of light, day. And he called the children of the darkness, night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. Now this is the comment we have on page 5 in reference to these verses that we just read. Light comes from many sources. So that we can see it on a regular scale today in life. So we can see the parallel of the spiritual with the physical. That's the way all Aborigines in the Bible was written. That's why he gave parables of those that were sowers and parables of those that were fishermen, because these were practical things that people did every day and they can relate to. The sun is the most powerful source of light known to man. Now, we already talked about how that power of that energy of the sun is tapped into and made in chlorophyll into the greens and then produce food that we can eat. We already showed of how if we eat it raw in its raw state, we only get 10% of the original source. And we already discussed how if you eat the meat, then you're getting 1% of that original source, which is hardly nothing. The body makes its own pre-vitamin D when it gets enough sunlight. In general, black or brown or people of colors can tolerate more sunlight than our whiter brethren. According to the research of medical missionary Al Wolfson, people of color can benefit from receiving up to 30 minutes of sunlight each day. So you think Yahweh just created the light for nothing? No, it's there to give us pre-vitamin D. This is because our dark skins protect us from the sun's harmful ultraviolet rays. So he gave us dark skins to protect us from it. On the other hand, our white-skinned brethren require only about 3 minutes of direct sunlight each day. They and others who are very light-skinned must be careful. The risk of getting skin cancer is far greater for them. Why? Because if you're not following the diet, then yes, you're going to get the skin cancer. I mean, we've been seeing the intensity of the sun, and people are telling people to stay out of the sun, but I say, I don't see no Africans staying out of the sun. They ain't coming down with skin cancer. So it's got to be related to our diet, which most people don't want to hear. But it's up to you. All life on earth depends on the sun. This is still page 5 of my beginner's book. It gives us light and warmth. Studies show that people with high blood pressure often obtain lower blood pressure readings when they exercise and sunbathe. So, he just didn't give us the sun for nothing, but as we exercise in it, it'll lower our blood pressure. It'll keep us balanced. Okay, what else does it do? It does more than that. It's going to bring down our blood pressure, and this is the first thing he created on the planet? Well, you know, if you learn truth, you know that's going to lower your blood pressure because now you know what truth is and you can walk in it. Exercise and sunlight also lower blood sugar level. So if you got high blood sugar, hey, do what Yahweh says, man. Get some exercise and get out there and get that sunlight. It will lower your blood sugar level. As a team, exercise and sunlight increase the blood's ability to absorb and carry oxygen throughout the body. And that's why we do that during our 10-day cleanse, because we want the best absorption of oxygen in our system. Healthy doses of sunlight and exercise also increase our ability to handle stress. So there you go. And that's just page 5 in my children's book. Not children's book, beginner's book. So please, make sure you read this beginner's book. These beginner's books are very powerful. Matter of fact, I got 3 more pages of material that we still cover just talking about sunlight. Or not sunlight, in particular, light and all of its different sources. So we pray that you've been able to get a little bit of appreciation for what Yahweh has called the light. But remember, he says he is the light of the world. And that's where we want to be. We want to be his children. We want to be his sons and daughters. And not make the mistake that Adam and Eve had made, but to follow Yahweh to the end.